This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Amos Alonzo Stagg is quite the literary figure in football history. He is one of the coaches that innovated the game and made it what it is today. Well, Timothy B. Brown of Football Archaeology tells us about Stagg's last game at the University of Chicago. Tim's got all the details of this great event coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal for positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday where we visit with FootballArchaeology.com's Timothy P. Brown, the master historian, who's going to tell us about another one of his great tidbits. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Out there. Thank you. I have a quiz for you. I'm not going to hit you with the dad joke, but I'm going to hit you with a quiz.
Okay.
What makes this podcast special? This particular one. This episode.
What makes it special? Well, probably the guest is what most people are going to tell us.
Come on. Come on. You and I have done 99 podcasts together before this one.
Really? Is this the 100th one?
This one special.
This is the century mark, huh?
That's right.
Wow. That is quite an accomplishment.
Numero ein hundert. I'm mixing my German and my Spanish, but this is our 100th podcast. Now, I think, you know, I was on your podcast once or twice before we kind of got together on a regular basis. So this is our 100th when it was, you know, on a regular basis.
So this is the 100th Tuesday in a row that
we've had. Correct. Yes.
Wow. So we're gonna hit the 2 year mark in four more episodes. Yeah. See, I threw the quiz. I threw a math quiz at you there. All right. Well, hey, that is quite an accomplishment. Anything. So thank you for sharing. I didn't realize that. I knew it was a whole bunch, but
So I just, you know, I'm kind of a dork, and so I've numbered. Just when we started doing them, I started numbering them. So we just happens to be the one that says 100 before.
Well, if I would have known that, I would have baked a cake or something. So I apologize. Yeah, well,
I just wanted to kind of surprise you.
Surprise parties
are always the best.
Yeah, that sure is. I need to have some like fireworks things going off in the background here when we go to do the editing on here. So, well, hey, great. I think great for sharing that. So, you know, it's part of this century mark. We're going to talk about somebody that lived almost a century.
That's right.
And a tidbit that you wrote a little while ago called Stagg's Last Game at Chicago. So the grand old man of football had his last game for the Chicago Maroons on the sideline.
So, you know, the background here, this is Mr. Stagg right there. Now, this isn't at the 100th game, but that's him along the sidelines at Chicago. And so, you know, one of the things that I actually opened that tidbit with was just the thought that, you know, so from my vantage point, football really started in 1869. And then Camp died in 1925. He was actually at one of the meetings one of the rulemaking meetings. So Camp saw the first 50 years of college football. And Stagg, who was, I think, 3 years younger than him, and just, you know, maybe a couple of more, it took him a little bit longer to get to Yale as a young man, but so he's a little bit delayed in terms of, you know, his class from Yale. But nevertheless, he was born before football came about. He was born during the Civil War. And, you know, he saw football's first 90 some years, you know. So, I mean, two central figures, obviously. If Camp is the father of football, Stagg's the uncle, right? And so here's two really influential guys in the history of the game, and then Stagg lives 40 years longer. So he saw, I mean, you just think about what he saw after 1925. So, very much, the forward pass coming into play. He saw the, more, a greater acceptance of African American players. He sees, modern transportation allowing teams to travel and, much more intersectional play, radio. He saw the beginnings of television, So, I mean, there were things that he saw and changes to the game that, Stagg or Camp never saw. So anyway, it's just kind of an interesting way to think about their times. But so, Stagg went to Yale, coached and attended Springfield College, so the YMCA school for a year or two. And then he gets recruited to the University of Chicago by the pre then president, who was a former Yale faculty member who had had him as a student. And so he recruits him to become the head of athletics. So a faculty position, but that meant he was the football coach, baseball coach, track coach. So he became a really influential figure, actually, in football and track for sure, major figure. And but so he was the coach there from 1892 through 1932. So 40 years, the first 40 years of the school, he's the football coach. And had won a national championship or two, and a bunch of Big Ten championships and everything. But as he was, kind of getting on in the years, there was Chicago brought in this new young president who didn't like athletics and especially didn't like football. So the guy eventually just, bled the budget of the athletic department, and then he forced Stagg to retire. So at age 70, which was a university policy, so he can do that. And so then Stagg ends up, it was known before the season started that this is his last year. So every opponent would like honor him, because he had been such a central figure. And so most of the teams were giving him like a letter sweater from their school or an award blanket, which a lot of schools gave out at the time rather than sweaters and jackets. Michigan was so damn happy to get rid of him that they gave him a silver service at their game. So, but then his last game is they're playing Chicago and they got a new coach by the name of Clarence Spears, who I just say that because he stuck hung around. He coached in a number of places, for 30 years or whatever. He was one of those guys who was a doc, a physician, and would coach during the during the fall. Another interesting thing about the game, so last game of the season, the referee for the game was Frank Birch, who was the guy that invented the referee signals, for penalties and touchdowns and all that kind of stuff. So, here's another fairly central figure in the game. But it was one of those games where, Wisconsin scores first, they don't convert, then Chicago scores in the second quarter to take the lead because they converted. And then Badgers score again before halftime, 12-7 lead. And then, I mean, I'm a Badger fan, but unfortunately for Stagg, Badgers scored again. And then, there was one play in the second half where the Chicago halfback takes off wide open, nobody there to touch him, and he trips over a line or whatever, but he trips and falls. And so they never score, and they end up losing 18-7. So Stagg loses his last game, ends up with the losing record for the season. So he ends up 3-4-1 that year, and which left him at 244, 111, and 27 in his career at Chicago. And In the Big Ten, he went 115, 74, and 12, with 30 of those losses coming since his last championship in 24. So he lost a lot of his games in the last 10 years of his, coaching, because they just, again, like I said, they kind of got bled out, and academics just became the key. Then what's kind of cool is that he then leaves Chicago, gets hired at the University of Pacific, and he coached there for 14 years. He won five conference titles, and then once that passed, then he goes out. One of his sons was coaching out at Susquehanna in Pennsylvania. So he was, sometimes his son would say, well, he was a coach, and officially his son was a coach. So I'm just going to say he assisted there for 6 years. And then he goes out, he's like 91 or something like that, goes out to retires in California, but it still is the kicking coach for a local junior college. So the guy ended up, with guy ended up with, what is it? 60 plus years of coaching football, at the college level.
That's amazing.
Well, and even more, because I'm not even counting his Springfield year. So, low 60s. So anyway, I'm just unbelievable, guy who was on the rules committee, a number of football innovations are credited to him. He was one of the guys. He and the Harvard captain in the same year invented tackling dummies, right? So I mean, just things like there's so many things. Flankers, he was the guy who really created a lot of just core football elements that, we just take for granted today.
And like you said, he's right there within the first, not even a decade. Football's not even a decade old when he starts playing the game. So he's probably observing it, as a youngster. But yeah, amazing just to take that full circle. And what a brilliant career. Excellent.
Yeah, there's something else. And, obviously playing at Yale at the time, that was, Yale and Princeton were the best football teams, during the 1800s. He was right there in the middle of it all.
And he was quite the baseball player too. I think Major League Baseball sort of wanted him, and he decided he was against professional sports, and that's sort of why he went to the coaching career. He was a very big advocate of collegiate and amateur sports. So.
Yeah, he is, he's a religious guy too. And so, he's an interesting dude. He's a vegetarian, and he's just a, kind of unconventional in a lot of ways. But yeah, unique individual.
Hey, if you live well into your 90s and you're still coaching in your 90s and working and still good brain power, maybe we should all get rid of meat then and become vegetarians because.
Yeah, well, the other thing that's funny is that he was, there's a lot of stories about there were different times when I forget exactly what it was. He had some health issues, from time to time, and his wife would take over. So, like his wife a lot of times would be at practice. Like if he couldn't be there or something, she'd kind of run things, and she apparently knew her share of football, right? And the team was not, it wasn't like a substitute teacher where kids are trying to screw around. Like they knew that. She knew what was going on, and they weren't going to get away with anything with her, or they'd meet the consequences if nothing else.
I wonder if Nick Saban's wife was doing that, like when he had to take a day off.
Yeah, I doubt it, but I'm not sure. He probably had a few more assistants than staff.
That could be. Well, Tim, that is great stuff on a great innovator and important figure in football history. And God, we really enjoy that you were able to talk about that last game and give us some of the history before and after that game too. So it comes full circle on there. But you have some interesting topics like this all the time on your website. Maybe you could tell folks how they could engage and read your stuff.
Yeah, so just go to footballarchaeology.com, bookmark it, go there whenever you want. Alternatively, you can subscribe for free. You can follow me on Twitter or on Threads, or on the Substack app, and read it as you please.
All right. He is Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com. And Tim, we thank you for joining us and this giving us another glimpse of football history. And we'd love to talk to you again next Tuesday.
Very good. We'll do 101 next week.
101. Thanks, Tim.
All right.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.